Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of Your Health Reset. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally. And today we are talking about one of those bad words that we all are taught to shy away from, especially in the healing process and especially in the personal development world, which I find so fascinating. And that is the state of anger. So we could title this episode, How to Work with Toxic Anger and Release It, or we could title it The Healing Power of Anger. Both are accurate. So I know anger is a scary word. And it's a very misunderstood state. And more often than not, I still see anger being vilified in these personal development and healing modality circles. And I really want to unpack that today because I have a very different take on it. And I think that your anger is there for a reason and that we should respect that and work with that energy. Because there's a great power in anger, especially when it's respected, when it's honored, and when it's used well. It's a very useful emotion. Anger could be considered our pathway out of feeling powerless. And yes, anger can also be a sign of heavy metal toxicity or overwhelm driven by parasites, mast cell activation, etc. And those are really important to discover and unpack for you, and we will do that in other episodes. But today we're just talking about the healing power of anger that is actually yours, real anger. And it's great. It's high energy. It's this awakening of life force within that helps you to move energy and helps you to make a change. And if you deny it, it's very painful and can lead to depression and even illness or keep you sick if you're already not well. So if you stay with anger, it's not the best place to make a decision from. Like you can probably point to a few decisions in your life that you made angry and they kind of felt half-cocked, right? So it's not where a final decision should be made, but it is a reclaiming of your power. And if it has come to anger, if you now have a reason to be angry and to experience that, chances are you were already feeling powerless right before that. And if that's the case, anger might just save your life and set you free. So we talk about this a lot in our rapid reset courses, and I just wanted to unpack this with you today. I will be the first to tell you, I was not historically known for letting go. I do not naturally have a forgiving temperament. I am very generous and very loving, but I'm not very forgiving naturally. And there's a very big difference. I'm the kind of person, especially I used to be this way. You know, the more we heal, the more we come to wholeness and integration. But absolutely in the past, if you pushed me far enough, my instinct would be to tattoo your transgression on my brain and to never, ever fucking forget it and never let you off the hook for it either. I was very attached to, you know, the list of what people had done to me moving through my life. And it cost me a lot of energy and time. And it really kept me from being well. But if I had worked with the energy of anger, if I had understood it better, and if I had understood how to witness myself and be there for myself through it, it could have been a really short process. And here's how I think I ended up there. It's stuck in this cycle. And I wonder if this is resonant for you too, because so many people that come to us to deal with their chronic conditions, they could be really high performers in life. Man, they're running circles around everybody else. And yet they really do not feel like themselves. They don't feel like they're reaching their full potential. And they're really tired of carrying the burdens for everybody else. So I was definitely that way. And I was very attached to being the one who is there for people, so to speak. And the flip side of showing up for people and valuing being there for others and being attached to being seen that way and feeling like I was earning my place and earning love for being the one who is there is that I often stayed too long. I held on too tight. And yeah, I accepted uneven relationships with crumbs for me and a feast for the other. And I was so capable and competent and had so much energy and so much love to give that I didn't even really notice until it was too late. And then I was really, really angry about it. So what was I so angry about? Was it really the transgression of the other person? Or the fact that I had actually betrayed myself in order to handle the situation for somebody else, do the right thing for them, do the right thing for the whole, even if it wasn't the right thing for me, to continually earn love instead of trusting that I was enough as is, and I didn't have to transgress against myself in order to be there for people. It was probably both, right? Probably angry at them and angry at me. And that ends up being a lot of energy and life force given to the scoreboard, so to speak. Hello, liver. That's where the liver comes in, because we all have places where we can store in the body experiences that we are not in a position to fully digest, experience, and release at the time of their occurrence. And the liver is just one such place. It can hold for us a tremendous amount of our own anger, and which is great in the short term, but really toxic in the long term. So the liver will hold anger for us, as we understand from traditional Chinese medicine, and the gallbladder can hold resentment for us, which is, of course, a very closely related emotion. So for a long time, I would even say decades, I was really struggling with feeling transgressed against all the time. And I was so angry about it. And one of my greatest mentors taught me this reclamation statement: I would like to be loving, but if you fuck with me, I will kill you. And he used to take women through a sword ceremony, reclaiming a fierce and ageless power that is our birthright. And that in and of itself was deeply healing, but it wasn't really the whole enchilada. It was like really struggling with like, okay, so I want to be loving, but somehow in my version of love, I am ignoring myself, which isn't really love at all. And then I have to come in with this fierceness afterwards, once it's too late, once they already feel transgressed against. You see my point? Anger is extremely useful for saving your own life when you feel powerless, when you feel like you have to give away your power in order to maintain a relationship or to survive, which is absolutely what I thought my rules were in life. I thought those were my only options. So interesting, right? So let's unpack that a little further. Because there's a great power in anger. When it's honored, when it's respected, when it's used well, it's a super useful emotion. Anger is our pathway out of feeling powerless. I used to say to women all the time in my teaching, as women, we're taught that it's not okay to be angry, and it's definitely not acceptable to express it. But actually, the same is true for men, ever more so in our culture. To be evolved, even to be a good citizen, to be a leader, you cannot actually stand up for yourself. It's a very weird set of rules set up for men now. So your rights, even your family's safety, you're not allowed to express any anger. There's such a small range of accepted behaviors. You must appear well-reasoned and calm at all times, or you're immediately dismissed and censored. That is such a fast road to powerlessness. I would say all genders are getting affected at this time. All expressions of gender, shall we say, are absolutely getting hindered. So it's not specific to any type of person at this time. I believe that we really lost the art of being angry and experiencing it, understanding it, and moving through it in our culture. And we've certainly lost the capacity to witness it without vilifying that person. So I believe to heal ourselves, especially in today's culture, and especially in today's epidemic of chronic illness, we really have to reclaim our ability to experience and use anger, to understand it, to respect it, and in doing so, reclaim our phenomenal personal power. And yeah, our ability to be our own advocates, which might just be the thing that saves us all. Using anger to reclaim our ability to be our own advocates. Because the more we put off accepting and moving through our anger, the weirder we get, right? And guess where anger gets stored in the body? That's right, the liver, as we mentioned earlier. So Michael and I created our Rapid Liver Reset Protocol to help people move through this physical stagnation in the liver and to flush out this toxic bile and the stones, and also to like release the stored emotions. I'll give you an example of what that looks like in practice as anger is leaving the body. So if you prepare the liver correctly and you use several weeks to break up stagnation to support your drainage pathways, and then you ask the liver to let go in a controlled flush, you can experience quite a release of emotion that can feel a little overwhelming during the process, but with some simple tools, it's easy to regulate the nervous system through it and it can be very short-lived. And you can get out anger that is decades old. It's like we had a client in his late 30s that was on his second, probably his third liver flush with us. And he was absolutely overcome with anger at his mom pretty much the whole day of his deep flush. It literally just consumed him. And he was just radiating off of his entire body. He had to rock himself on the carpet of his bedroom and just scream and cry with rage and pound the floor. And he just had to get it out of the body. And he would have told you before this that he was fine. He was a little resentful, but that he's fine. You know, I'm fine. He had I'm fine-itis. And then through this liver flush process, he got to finally become present to all that anger that had been stored in his liver. It's an old anger. It's not a new one. But because it wasn't okay for him to process it at the age it first occurred, he didn't have the tools and it wasn't safe for him at the time to work through this anger, to express it or move through it. It got stored. So on the other side of this flush, he had a total breakthrough with his mom, which was who most of the anger was directed at. Back from his teenage years, when he did not know how to stand up for himself, when he felt it was really scary to be in his household, it felt chaotic, felt like he had no voice, and he was getting pushed around a lot. It was a really good thing that he did this flush at the time he did, because tragedy struck his family shortly after. And it was this fresh release that created room in their relationship to help them navigate that tragedy together. So Michael and I were no different. You know, we both had a lot of anger to work through. And we started exploring this more and more out of a personal necessity than anything, to be honest. And I don't mind telling you, and this is a trigger warning right now, you need to stop this episode if you are easily triggered. Because one layer for me that I think it's important to share with you now is that I was very angry with my rapist. I was so angry as well at the people who were supposed to protect me and who did not believe me when it happened. Or for years after, when I tried to share with some of the most close people in my life, I thought they had earned my trust and then they wouldn't be able to hold the space for me. And I got really, really into despair about it. But underneath that despair was a lot of anger. The despair was the more socially appropriate emotion for me to show or even be aware of myself. And underneath that, lots and lots of anger. I was so angry at myself for not standing up for myself more, for trying to minimize it, for worrying about other people's feelings, for being a terrible advocate for myself, and absolutely for accepting the shame of it, for how people treated me afterwards instead of refusing their version. I just accepted it, whatever their story about me was. But you know what? Most of all, I was blindingly angry at God and life. So angry at not knowing how to reclaim my relationship to my own fucking body. So really, when I was finally able to get present with that anger that had absolutely been running my life, and the suppression of that anger was costing me so much energy and got making me sick, literally making me ill. Once I could finally become present with that, I could realize there was a lot of grief underneath that anger at what I had lost, my sense of my own body, now tainted with someone else, and that unwelcome presence, that leftover violence where there should have been privacy and peace. Grief that no one stood up for me, that I wasn't worth protecting somehow. Grief that this got carried into every single one of my relationships after. And because I'm aware of the progression of emotions, because I have learned about my own habitual emotional state chains, as we all have state chains, where we go from emotion to emotion to emotion. We transmit, we transmute energy from one emotion to the next as we progress. Because I know how mine works, I know that underneath anger is usually a whole lot of grief for me personally. That's usually true for a lot of people. but it doesn't actually take me that long to move through anger and release it from my body. And then there's this, oh, fresh wave of anger again, that is more about, for lack of a better word, it's more like this disbelief that I, this powerful soul, this sacred being, because every one of us knows that we are a powerful soul and a sacred being. No matter what we've been taught, there is a layer of us that is aware of this even now. Once you finally get down to this layer, there's this disbelief that I, this powerful soul, the sacred being, could be disrespected in this way. Like, how fucking dare you, right? And I think this is the layer that's so hard for people to get at, because there's a lot of drama over the top of it, of these other more pedestrian angers and the way we stuff those down and then like cover it up with like depression and these more acceptable emotions. But underneath it is this almost regal sense of being divinely revered as this whole beloved soul. And this total disbelief that we could have such a profound experience of someone treating us in a way that doesn't match that. That awareness of our higher self, that awareness of how unviolatable we actually are. If there's an experience that doesn't square with that deepest truth, that is where the anger is, that does not go away until you square with it, until you get present with it, until you move it through, you feel it, and you let it go. So this anger was me saying, no more. No more transgressions. I am done. D-O-N-E done, as my aunt used to say. One of my favorite people in the whole world that passed away because she couldn't actually express her anger very well, which is absolutely devastating. So I hope for you that you actually are able to get present with it, that you've made it this far into this episode because you're actually really fucking brave and you are curious about what anger can do for you. And you do have hope that you have total access still to this magical, whole, inalienable experience of you, this beloved child of God. No matter what has happened along the way, no matter what you've done along the way, no matter what's been done to you along the way. So I often remind myself, and I invite you to do this too, that anger is life force awakening in the body. And anger held on to is power misused. I'm going to say that again. Anger held on to is power misused. It's costing you energy. And the more energy you spend and waste on pushing down your anger to be more socially acceptable, to maintain the status quo, that's a lot of life force to waste and abuse so that you can't actually create the life you want. So anger that is nurtured and sustained, like that takes work, man. Anger is supposed to be a short-term flash, a rising up of life force that moves through into the next emotional state really quickly, or reveals the grief underneath, or gets clarity on the thing that needs to happen next. It is not supposed to be sustained over the long term. And if you're nurturing it and sustaining it, you're often doing that to like keep yourself sharp for the next transgression when that occurs against you. As a horrible meditation to go through life with. And let's take it a step further. What's another way that you could use anger that could be really detrimental to your health? Well, you could direct it at yourself, because it's safer to direct it at you than it is to direct it at others. This is a form of self-harm. I see this in young women often, where we end up cutting ourselves versus actually standing up for ourselves because we don't know how. That's what I was doing when I was 13, 14, 15. And I know a lot of women who did. So anger directed at yourself, it's a form of self-harm, and it's almost because it's safer to direct it at you than it is to turn it outwards. An anger that is stored in any fashion is very toxic to the human body because it invites stagnation. In fact, it requires stagnation. And the body and soul want to be in a state of flow. So as you learn to stand up for yourself more, there's, going to be a period of messiness. That's okay. Whoops. That means you're doing it right. People closest to you may not enjoy the process. That's okay too. Truth be told, even our closest relationships find it easier to be around us when we feel powerless and depressed and when we are stuffing down our anger instead of acknowledging it and respecting it. We're simply better behaved when we are too depressed to express our anger. So no one's going to do this work for us. You see my point? Even the people who love us the most are going to shy away from this anger in us. You have to respect the energy of your anger. You have to tell yourself, this is good. This is my life force. And I am reclaiming access to my life force with this feeling. It is safe for me to feel how powerful I really am. It is safe for me to feel how powerful I really am. And just become aware of the location of anger in your body. Instead of judging it or pushing it away or trying to manage it or force through it or stuff it down, just notice, okay, whereabouts is the anger in my body right now when it's right there like that? Notice the size. Notice the shape. Notice the location. Is it on the inside of the body or the outside of the body? Just be aware. And there may be other related emotions, right? Blame and irritation are common, resentment, right? The stupid transgressors who are the targets of your anger. That's super common. It's a weird side note. Blame is actually a less disempowered emotion than anger. Isn't that interesting? So you might go from depression to rage to weird fantasies of revenge that last for like a second into anger, into blame, into frustration and irritation, then into like a release. And then just kind of slightly overwhelmed, right? Where you're in this almost neutral place. It's a lot safer to do when you're curious about the anger, that it can move so much faster and you get to maintain access to the life force instead of negating it. So this is where you get to reach for evidence that you're already powerful, that your body will actually believe. So don't make shit up about, oh, I'm so powerful, if you don't believe that. Look for evidence in your life that you're super powerful. And it could be something really dumb, like, I'm really good at organizing a calendar, right? Or I'm great at doing XYZ. I'm super powerful because I can get through a grocery store in less than 20 minutes. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be super mundane. It's not about you overthrowing a government. Although, sure, if that feels right to you, I'm on board. You standing up for what is right, that's great. But it can be super mundane stuff, that you are powerful and in charge of your own life, that you have agency, that you have access to your life force. Maybe you're a strong communicator. Maybe you're just really good at something that you have to do on the daily. These are like little clues that you're actually in charge of your experience, and you're going to look for those and bring them up into your awareness once you have achieved like a neutral present state, when you've allowed the anger to flow through, right? Or if you're stuck and it's not flowing through yet, you can use humor and reduce the stakes. Say, well, I could knock this vase over, smash it to pieces. I belong on a reality television show. Great. Where's my contract? Just lower the stakes. Say, I'm figuring this out. I don't need to have the whole answer right now. Hey, look at Sinclair. She was a mess. Her life was a dumpster fire. I'm not the only one. Use a little bit of humor. Take the drama out of it. Stay present. Do not go unconscious. Do not push away the feeling or the energy. Just stay present. Start working with the energy, right? Say, I'm working on it. I'm practicing standing up for myself. I am respecting my personal power more than ever before. I'm on the hunt for answers. Give yourself evidence of that right now. I know more than I did ever before what's important to me. How to take care of myself. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Watch yourself talk. Be intentional. Look for examples of things that feel a little better and are true to your body. Feel out the path of relief, not the path of numbing. That's going back down into depression, the path of relief where the energy can move. Really important distinction here. That distinction alone, if you can make that awareness clear in your body on a moment by moment, day to day basis, your entire life will change. Am I numbing myself out right now? Or am I seeking the path of genuine presence, relief, and flow? Really important to make that change. So as you do the work to restore your liver and release the stuck energy, to hopefully maintain your gallbladder and retain it, or honor the energy once it's gone because it got too acute, too much resentment, too much blockage, had to go, got removed. Think about it this way. Your stagnation at the biochemical level, meaning the body, the dense tissues of the body, your stagnation there is going to release at a similar rate that your emotions can move. So old anger will come to your awareness in waves as you do that deep destagnation work. It's just simply old energy leaving the body. It happens at a pace that your body can handle. So you never need to be afraid of the process. You can trust it. You got this. Support your drainage pathways. Support releasing toxic stagnation and trust the process of releasing the old emotions. It will happen in a way that is so magical. If you take out the drama of it and you simply observe and stay present, the exquisiteness in the way all of this unfolds will absolutely take your breath away. You can trust it. You can trust your body. You can trust yourself. You got this.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.